So just from God, just some, spending some time in God's word, and we're in 2 Corinthians. And we talked on Friday about the great rescue that that Jesus did for each of us. And we want to explore this morning another great, which is the great exchange that happened when Jesus died on the cross and rose again, came back to life. Because the cross was an incredible place of exchange. The cross was a place where Jesus exchanged life for death. He laid his life down and received death. But the empty tomb that we celebrate today is another place of incredible exchange, because it is the place of death to life. It's the place where Jesus came back to life, and it's the place where you and I receive a brand new life, a changed life, a fresh start. That is really, really good news. For Jesus and for us who choose to put his trust in him, this is a place of new beginnings. And we're just looking in a section of the Bible this morning where the Apostle Paul, who is one of Jesus' followers, he talked about this new life, and he talked about it in 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to be in that passage just for a few minutes this morning. But that incredible place of exchange where he says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That is such a brilliant exchange. We get to exchange our old life for a new life. That is really, really good news. You see, the Christian life is not an add-on. It's not a cosmetic change. Oh, yeah, I'll live my life and I'll pop Jesus in my pocket for when something's going wrong. The Christian life is actually a whole new life. It's a radical transformation that you and I are invited into. I'm just going to explore that for a few minutes this morning. So Paul talks about this new life and he invites us to experience it. So here's a couple of things that happen when we have a new life in Jesus. And the first thing that we find from this passage is that we no longer live for ourselves. Thanks. All right. Now, Paul's writing to the Christians in a town called Corinth, and they've been kind of saying a few things about him, but it's like, you know, some people have been accusing him to be out of his mind, and he says, look, if it seems crazy, if we seem crazy, it's to bring glory to God. If we're in our right minds, it's for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controlled us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. They will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. Whoa. No longer live for ourselves. If you choose to no longer live for yourself, the world will probably think you're crazy. Because living unselfishly is a pretty radical way to live. And living for someone else, for Jesus, is not how the world operates. But when we're filled with Christ's new life, we find ourselves motivated by love. We find ourselves actually motivated by the good of other people. This was a costly, sacrificial life that Jesus lived. It took him to the cross and he laid down his life. But Jesus lived for the Father and he lived for us. He chose not to live for himself. And one of the things that we're invited into in our new life is an invitation to no longer live for ourselves. As we die to our old selfish life, we find ourselves more able to think of how our actions affect other people. We find ourselves more considerate, more thoughtful, more motivated to please God and to please others. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm basically selfish. Anyone here know that of themselves? You kind of, you know, our normal human thing is me first. So this is a radical transformation that Jesus is inviting us into, to live with God first and with others in mind. That's just, that's not human. And we can't do it. We actually can't do it. We're completely dependent on the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus living in us, who changes us out of selfishness into God-centeredness. My question is, what would the world and our families look like if we didn't live selfish lives? We would have a very different world. But for you and I, the invitation is to trust Jesus this morning and to exchange the way we choose, the choices we make, the way we think, the way we live, to choose others and to choose God. This is the exchange that Jesus purchased on the cross and sealed with the empty tomb. A life not lived for ourselves. Okay, second thing this morning. You see, you're up. Very quick message. Second thing this morning is we begin to see people the way that God sees them. When we exchange our life for God's, we actually change the way we see people. This is pretty amazing. You see, the world has a way of seeing things. Paul calls it evaluating people from a human point of view. The world has a way of seeing people. The world evaluates people by their looks, by how much money they have, by their performance. Have a look on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and you'll see how the world evaluates people, won't you? Point out the faults, look at what's wrong, call it out, put people down, dismiss them if you disagree with them. It's pretty ugly, really. Jesus has a whole different way of inviting us to view people, and it's astonishing. So the question is, if we're not looking at people how the world looks at them, how will we look at people? We're invited to look at people how God sees them. How does God see people? We read later on. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Whoa. What if we didn't count people's wrongs against them? What if we didn't count people's wrongs against them like God? This is not an excuse to say, you know, violence or abuse is okay, or that we don't need to address some situations with some hard conversations. That's not about that. But it is about wanting to live reconciled with others. It is about choosing forgiveness. It is about letting go of the faults we've seen of others and actually being willing to have restored relationship. How different would family life be? How different would church family life be if we truly saw others the way that God sees them? When we receive the resurrection life of Jesus in exchange for our old fault-finding, finger-pointing life, we actually begin to experience and see people the way that God sees them. That's pretty amazing. We begin to work to restore relationships instead of separating from people. We begin to let offences go. We begin to genuinely belong to family. We stop thinking of ourselves like orphans and actually come into the family that God's planned for us. Our new creation life is an invitation to see people the way that God sees them. And thirdly, you're tracking brilliantly, is our new creation life is an invitation to exchange. This one. our new creation life is an invitation to be made right with God. Have a look at this. God made Christ, who never sinned, to be a sin offering or an offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That's an incredible exchange, an incredible invitation, that Jesus becomes our sin on the cross. He becomes sinful, like the one who never sinned actually takes on our sin. Why? So that we, in exchange, could get his righteousness, his rightness with God, his peace with God. I don't know about you, but boy, so many people live anxious lives not knowing that they can have peace with God. They're still working at it. Maybe they're still being religious enough, being good enough, being whatever enough, so that rather than receiving that rightness as a gift, they're actually still working at it. But the good news is that we've been offered this exchange, not because we deserved it, but because of the kindness of God. And you and I can come into a right relationship with God, into peace with God, knowing that we're forgiven, not because we've done enough, but because Jesus did enough. And he exchanges his rightness for ours. Wow, that's incredible good news. I could spend the rest of my life telling people, you don't have to work to get God to love you. He loves you already. And he's provided a way for you to be right with God. And you simply need to trust him. You need to believe that he's that good. You need to receive the gift of forgiveness that he's offering in exchange for your sin. That's an incredible exchange. And it's no wonder that we can't help sharing God's news. That was what Paul said, you know, God's making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. And there's an invitation for each of us this morning to be right with God. Imagine living just completely knowing that we're right with God. It's possible. Today, I'm right with God, not because I had to do anything, but because of everything that Jesus has done. It's so life-giving. It's so liberating. No wonder we want to share the good news. All right. How do we live this new exchanged life? Well, we live it. How do we live no longer just for ourselves? How do we live in a way that we see others the way that God sees them? How do we live at peace with God, truly free and truly forgiven? Well, it is that gift that we receive by trusting. And it is, we live this life by the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. I can't live like this. I can't muster up enough goodness to do this. This happens because I received that exchange. Jesus comes to live in me and in you. The invitation is for you to invite Jesus to be in you by his Holy Spirit. And he does the work from the inside out. If we're trying to be good enough, we'll be exhausted and defeated. But if we're leaning in and inviting Holy Spirit to live his life in us and through us, we find ourselves at peace with God. We find ourselves able to see others the way God sees them. And we find ourselves able to live unselfishly. That's pretty good news. You and I, look around. You'll probably see some people still a work in progress. Anybody arrived at that place? And yet we have arrived in the spirit realm. We have arrived there, and God's still working that out in our everyday life. I don't know if you've ever received that exchange. I don't know if you know what it is to live at peace with God, but today there is an invitation for you to have that new life that Jesus bought on the cross and sealed when he rose from the dead. And as we go through the service, we're just going to make space for anyone who's never said yes to Jesus, yes to this exchanged life. And for those of us who want to continue to grow in living those ways, there is an invitation for us to just revisit and re-invite Holy Spirit to do that work in us. Thanks for listening. All right. We didn't want to sort of make this theory, some sort of high pie in the sky, something you just talk about. We wanted to see what does it look like on the ground. And we've got a couple of people that we've invited to just share and say, what does it look like that you, yeah, come on, Sam, come down. What does it look like that you have Jesus, the risen Jesus, in your life? So Lorraine and Sam and Zach and Brenton, yeah, just going to come and share what it looks like. Yeah, what it looks like to come and stand up with me. This is my favourite. Oh, I can't say my favourite Sam because my son Sam is here today, so I better not say that. My second favourite Sam in life. Sam, what does it mean for you that Jesus is alive in your life?
Well, for me, it means for Jesus to be alive. He gives me a purpose, reason to live, and helps with very, like, hurtful and hard moments in life.
That's beautiful. Thank you. And that was hard for you to do, so we would, yeah, we love it. Thanks. Sam, Brenton, what does it mean for you that Jesus is alive?
I guess for me, the best bit is I get to have a relationship with him and get to have discussions with him about who I am is kind of the coolest part. It's easy to go through life and everyone wants to have their two cents about who or what you should be. And that's not really the stuff that makes you feel alive. So the best bit is being able to talk with Jesus, and he's the only one who knows who I truly am and the version of me that will bring me the most joy and fulfillment. So
thanks, Brenton. So good. We'll do Zach last. Yeah, sorry, I changed the order on the sheet just because I wanted to confuse you. This is my friend Lorraine. Yeah, what difference does it make to you that Jesus is alive? I'll let you have the mic.
Thank you. Do you trust me with the mic? Good morning, everyone. What does it mean to me? I'm standing here today and very thankful that Christ has risen. The last few years, God has taking me on a journey of learning to love the unlovely. It's easy to love those who are lovely, who are kind, like nice to you. But how do we love those who are unlovely, especially when they've hurt you? And the last few years, I've been on that journey. Now we're talking child abuse, pedophilia, rapists. Those sorts of things that have happened to me personally happened to our family. And they're not easy things, and it's been a journey that's been quite traumatic and heartbreaking. It's a journey that continues today. But if Christ didn't rise from the dead, I wouldn't be able to do any of this, because it's greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. And so I can say that I'm still on that journey, I tell you what, because it is hard to love the unlovely. But you look for the gold in people. You get through the dirt and you look for the gold that doesn't excuse their behaviour. But it's about loving them for who they are, because Christ created them. And so I live, like, I have Salvation Army background. These two choruses sum up what I'm saying to you. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. I'm still on that journey though. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Amen.
That's beautiful. And Zach is going to invite you to share how your life's different because Jesus is alive.
Wow, that's inc- incredible, Lorraine. Growing up in primary school, I kind of learned that that in order to be kind of accepted or acceptable, I kind of need to perform. If I'm cool enough, if I'm funny enough, if I'm like the people I want to be accepted by, then I'll be accepted. So you kind of perform and then you're accepted. And I started coming along to youth and then started coming along to church, and it was incredible because I had learned rejection. I had learned abandonment. I had learned that I wasn't acceptable unless I performed and became acceptable. And being at church, I was accepted before I performed, which was weird, which was completely backwards in my mind. And it was really important to me on my journey that I actually came to know Jesus as the one, as the source of that love and acceptance. Because if I put my trust in church, if I put my trust in people, then I'd probably end up dealing with the same abandonment, rejection issues, because we're people. I mean, let's be real. But Jesus is, he's the source of anything good that we see in church. Its source is found in Jesus. And it was actually through coming to know Jesus, coming to know, again, that the resurrection of Jesus means that the pain and suffering being wiped away, every tear being wiped away, is actually entered into this moment here. That hope that we have of future to come has entered in here. And that's what I experienced in my life, that in my relationships, that the pain and suffering got wiped away because of Jesus. And I'm still on the journey of dealing with abandonment, rejection issues, of course. But it's through Jesus that healing kind of takes place. So hope that makes sense. And I hope that perhaps you've, as we've been talking, you've been maybe thinking and reflecting on your own life. And so we have a few questions. If we could get that slide up. We want to have this as a time where everyone can have an opportunity to share. So there are a few questions here that might give you an opportunity to talk about some of the things that we've been talking about in the last few minutes. And so feel free, each question is kind of optional. Feel free to share what you would like to share with the people that are around you. And we'll give you just a few minutes to do that.